Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The reading is taken from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. The talk this morning is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, and we begin a new sermon series based on Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. This week, we learn about hearing God's word in Jesus.
Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Thanks be to God for his word to us today.
Right, well, it's good to be back. I'm Dave, the curate here at St. James's Church, and I've been on paternity leave for 2 weeks, and then took another 2 weeks on a holiday as well. We had a massive baby, 10 pounds, 8, 9, and Donna needs more recovery time, so I've been helping, and it's been great, actually. Like, every afternoon, my wife's just like, get the girls out of the house, and we've been going to so many different places around Taunton, little things like the museum, the library. They've been really good places to take my kids, and I've never really had the time to do that. We even went to the Fleet Air Museum the other day, and that is spectacular. There are actual planes flying and stuff, and they were like, anyway, Taunton is a great place to be. So I've got lots to be thankful for. We're going to start my talk. I've got too much stuff going on here. Wait. We're going to start by reading a poem. Now, this is The Rhyming Bible by Bob Hartman, and my kids love it, and I love it. So we're going to do this together. Now, there's some actions I want you to do here. So when I say the word Jesus, I want you to be strong. I want you to flex your muscles like you've got some. I haven't worked out in a long time. When I say ghost, I want you to go, whoa, okay, whoa. And when I say crying, I want you to do your best tears you can. So it's titled Not a Ghost Story. Imagine that someone who died just appeared. Someone you loved. Would it feel good or weird? So when Jesus appeared in a room that was locked, his disciples were startled and frightened and shocked. "It's his ghost," they all whispered, and every knee knocked, sighing, goodbying, and crying. "There's no need to fear," Jesus said with a smile. "It's me, I'm back, well, at least for a while. Touch my hands, my feet, you can't touch a ghost. And ghosts never eat, but I'd like a fish roast. My new body will last forever, no boast. No more sighing, goodbying, or crying." But Thomas was missing and didn't believe that Jesus had been, and he still wanted to grieve. "Unless I could see for myself," Thomas said, "his hands, his sides, the places he bled, I won't be convinced that he rose from the dead. I'll be sighing, goodbying, and crying." So Jesus returned to his friends the next week. "Thomas," he said, "here's proof that you seek. Touch the holes in my hands, the wounds in my side. See and believe that your friends have not lied." "My Lord, my God," Thomas said, "you're alive," and stopped sighing, goodbying, and crying. For the next 40 days, Jesus met with his friends. 500 or so saw him living again. Then he led them all up to a hilltop on high and said, "Let the world know that I am alive." Then up through the clouds, he rose into the sky. No more sighing, goodbying, and crying. That is such a good poem, and I hope you enjoyed it. So lots of crazy stuff happens after Jesus dies and rises again. And it's almost like ghost stories. They're wild. These stories are hard to believe sometimes. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to be following a series about how to hear God, a simple guide for normal people, and it is taken from Pete Gregg's book. So if you want to follow it in more detail, this is Pete Gregg's new book. It's £10 off Eden. Get it, because it is brilliant. They'll be covering themes about how to hear God's word through Jesus, which we're doing today, through the Bible, through dreams. Now, that chapter was a challenging one to me. Because in my tradition, I'm not really taught to listen to my dreams. I don't really even remember my dreams. But did you know that nearly every character in the Bible receives word from God through dreams? Nearly every main character. And that, why isn't that part of our tradition? Why aren't we talking about what we dreamt about last night? Anyway, and also about hearing God's word through a community and through the whisper. And so these are, it's a real challenge. It's really exciting. Some of you may default to hearing God's voice in certain ways. I want to challenge you over the next few weeks to explore different ways of hearing God's voice. And there'll be practical things that we're going to do together as well. So today we're talking about this story to the road to Emmaus. Now, some people think this story is not true. It can't be true. It's just too crazy. It's too nice. Yeah, it's too amazing. You're walking in your disappointment away from Jerusalem. Jesus has just died, where you put all your hope in, and then he appears. So, if I was a Hollywood screenwriter, there would be so many holes in this story that I'd just be like, no, this story needs fixed to make it better. And that is often how we can tell when the Bible's actually true, because it's been written by humans. It's been experienced by humans. There's a realness to it because it's so ordinary at the same time as being amazing. So in this story, there are things I would improve if I was a Hollywood screenwriter. I wouldn't get them to walk to Emmaus because it's an insignificant town 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. There's nothing tied to it. Why not Jericho, where Joshua first took the promised land? They could have walked there. Why not somewhere like Bethany, where Lazarus was raised to the dead? You could tie a few plots together into that. You could really make this story go boom with a different destination. Emmaus, come on. Like 7 miles outside of Taunton, it's insignificant. They're walking home. They're going back to their trades. They've given up. I would also include more witnesses. And if there were two witnesses, I'd at least name both of them. They only name one of them, Cleopas, and they think the other one might have actually been a woman. But they're not named. The second one isn't named. If I was writing an account, I would at least have a backstory to each character and deepen it, you know, give it some more emotion to it. And then why did Jesus disappear after just breaking the bread? Where's the wine? Come on, there's all these gaps. And these things are missing, but actually they give a realness to it because it's our everyday experience, it's normal. Jesus broke the bread and disappeared. There are things that I would have added to this as a script writer, so I don't think this has just been written out of someone's mind. I think this is a real experience. And actually, when we turn to Luke, we can trust in Luke. He doesn't have poetry or metaphor. He just speaks the facts as they are. So, we have this amazing story. Now, it starts in disappointment. And I want you to take your footprint this morning, and I want you to write or talk about to your neighbor a disappointment that you have. It could be big, it could be small. It could be about someone that you miss. It could be about something that you don't like about Taunton or your family. Maybe you're disappointed in me. I don't know. Just write it down there and share it with one another quickly. If you don't have a footprint and you'd like one, please put your hand up. But otherwise, because we've got a few spare at the back. But otherwise, just share it with your neighbor about what you're disappointed in. And it's going to form our prayer for this morning. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. So please write a disappointment on your footprint. Okay, I'd love to give you all morning, all day to speak about that to each other. And you can over coffee next. But I'm going to have to draw that to a close. But please keep on telling each other how you hear from God. It's a simple question. It's actually a really challenging one as well. How do you hear from God? To test what we hear from God is to look at the person of Jesus. He is the beginning and the end. He was there at the start. He's there at the end. And if we struggle with some verses or things that are given to us or some stories in the Bible, we have to look through the person of Jesus. Keep on looking to Jesus. And do you know what? In my experience, God is rarely in a hurry to answer all your questions, all your prayers. He's rarely in a hurry to speak. And we want this like instant gratification at the moment, don't we? We want the Amazon one click. It's at my door. So we have to fight that temptation. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek and find me," he says, "when you seek me with all your heart." And it takes a little while for me to get there with all my heart. If I just say a prayer and it's answered, I'm like, oh, great. But actually to wait and to struggle. Now, that's quite a light thing to say. But anyway, if I'm walking away from a bad diagnosis at a hospital, I wonder how I might feel about that, about waiting. If I wanted, you know, I've just lost someone, how would I feel about that? You know, I could say these things, but actually, when you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me, he says. That's a hope I hold on to. All right, C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. It's taken from the problem of pain. So to finish with, I just want to read you the last prayer that he has in this chapter. And so I want you to close your eyes, and I'll say this prayer over us. If you'd like to open your arms or just have a posture where you're open to God, then please do. Lord, I am here before you now, wholeheartedly. Speak as I seek your face. Give me ears to hear what you are saying and a greater willingness to wait. Insofar as I am also here before you now, half-heartedly, fuel the fire of my desire. Do whatever it takes to renew in me an all-consuming passion for your name. Lord Jesus, open my eyes to perceive you. Holy Spirit, soften my heart to receive you. Father God, grant me faith to believe that when I pray in this way, you hear and draw near with words of infinite love. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.